Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the early line. It's hour number 2 on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on Sports Grid. And we start this hour looking at the Heisman Trophy. The top three choices have still continued to establish themselves as just that: C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, and Bryce Young. But I want to take the chance to look beyond those three quarterbacks and see who we think can really enter the race. That the next tier of quarterback right now is Dylan Gabriel, 16-1 at Oklahoma, Stetson Bennett, 20-1 at Georgia, and J.J. McCarthy, 30-1 at Michigan. What those three quarterbacks have in common is the opportunity to be in the college football playoff. Georgia is a national champion favorite. Michigan has been very impressive despite playing bad competition. They win nearly every game by 50 points. And OU are favored to win the Big 12. What are your thoughts on any of the quarterbacks inside this next tier of guys after the big-time favorites?
Yeah, the question is going to be here, right? Because I think you brought up the right point. It's not so much about these guys putting up statistics, because anybody in that top, 20 voting-wise, they're going to have pretty good statistics at the end of the year. But it's the chance of getting that extra bump. When we try to equate it to Major League Baseball, it's not so much about, hey, if you're a Cy Young pitcher, do you get extra credit, like I like to say, if your team wins a division? There's a chance that that could happen if it comes down to two guys that are close and one guy was a big pitcher down the stretch and the reason why they won. That's why I bring this up. Like Dylan Gabriel, is there a chance that they can win the Big 12 and wind up in the playoff? Because we have to keep in mind as well, Kevin, so many times I say this, when you win the Heisman Award, you don't win it after the season is over and you see who won the national championship. It gets cut off right when you start that postseason play. So Dylan Gabriel's got a really good chance to ramp that up. Stetson Bennett, we've seen now, who I brought up this point to you, Kevin, like after week one, it was always where Stetson Bennett was, and quite frankly, we always joke about, hey, Georgia, hopefully Stetson Bennett moves on and we get a more talented guy in here. This guy's throwing for like 300 yards and multiple touchdowns every week, and I feel like now that's the standard at Georgia, and that's going to keep him in the race. Instead of handing the football off three times inside the 10-yard line and getting a touchdown, you're now able to throw because you want him to get some statistics. Same thing with J.J. McCarthy. Now, if we take a look at the Michigan team where he's the clear de facto number one, now an injury to the number two quarterback also, if they can run the table, they're big games there. But if I'm looking at who makes sense in this, doesn't it always feel the need that it's always about statistics here? And the fact that Gabriel McCarthy maybe could put up better statistics than Stetson Bennett, even though Georgia might be, quite frankly, the best team in the country, I'm going to look for the guys that can run it up on the scoreboard here for me.
The interesting thing with Bennett, as he's off to an excellent season right now, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a rushing touchdown in each game, as well, the defense is, now I don't think the defense is anywhere near as good as last year's group. And you could honestly tell me that you think Georgia has the best defense in the country, and I still will tell you they're not as good as last year's group. That's, will Bennett get enough of the credit to win this award? Can Georgia run the table, win the SEC, beat Bama, all of that, and will Bennett still get enough credit? I'm not sure. I think of this group, Dylan Gabriel probably would get the most credit, right? Because J.J. McCarthy was in the battle. I'm not sure their identity is to run the football a little bit more. I think Dylan Gabriel maybe could soak up a lot of the credit. But it's interestingly enough to me, the next tier of quarterbacks that seems so much more important to their football teams. The radio audience is here on a Tuesday morning, the early line on Sirius XM channel 159, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State, Michael Penix Jr. at Washington, and Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. The issue for these quarterbacks, though, in terms of making a very real push here, Donnie, is they're going to have to now turn around and win at a very high level. Ohio State, Alabama, and USC right now are all teams right near the top of the title board, expected to make the college football playoff. So when we look at this next tier, I think the guy I'm most interested in, Michael Penix Jr., the former Indiana quarterback. Washington winning the Pac-12 doesn't sound ridiculous. Penix Jr. with 337 yards at least in all of the games he's played. The game against Michigan State, 397-4. No picks. Statistically, it seems like Penix Jr. will be there. And Washington winning the Pac-12, maybe as a one-loss Pac-12 champion, seems like the least outlandish of this next kind of group of guys we're discussing.
Yes, and also the previous group, right? Dylan Gabriel, Bennett, and also McCarthy talking about they need to put up statistics here because they have good football teams here. The next line is kind of interesting here, and I'm going to take a look at Hendon Hooker at 50-1. It's not that he needs to throw for 400 yards a week and put up 5 touchdowns. You know all he needs to do? Beat that murderer's row in the SEC that we talked about yesterday on Moneyline. Mm. Now, it's a daunting task moving forward, but if you're going to say that they can slip by in Alabama and beat a Florida, he's going to move up regardless of whatever statistics he puts up because that team is getting the extra credit for knocking off top-level talent, and he might find himself in that top five if, and it's a big if, they can do that.
I will also mention, before we get out of here, 60-1 Blake Corum. He had 5 touchdowns last week versus UConn. Now, you might say, oh, it's UConn. That's not the point. He is tied for the lead in the country with rushing touchdowns at 7. And if Michigan now is pushed a little bit more by the opponents, maybe instead of 10 carries a game, he gets 20 carries a game. It'll be an interesting number to follow at 60-1. We'll talk about Week 3 lines next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 3 in the NFL looks really, really interesting. A lot of good games for us to try and get a read on early here. And I want to start with Sunday night football, the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers. And I want to start with this game because it's going to be the first game that Jimmy Garoppolo is priced this season. The pregame numbers for the Niners versus the Bears and the Niners versus the Seahawks were priced entirely on Trey Lance. Now, not that there's a big drop-off between Jimmy Garoppolo and some people would maybe even argue an upgrade. Well, that's why I bring this all up. It is a one-point line right now that favors the San Francisco 49ers in Denver. When you see this number, do you think that this is a Jimmy Garoppolo-enhanced line? Or really is the story just the fact that Denver is being sold in the marketplace already now a home dog in week number 3?
Combination of both. We're not happy here with what the Denver Broncos has presented to us, and also we're seemingly getting that bump here from Garoppolo coming back. And it's the old adage we're going to talk about all season long, the upside versus the steady hand and what you get each and every week. And apparently now the steady hand with San Francisco beats a unsteady hand, it feels like, for Russell Wilson and that Denver Broncos team. But also at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's very interesting and telling and very easy to use. One of the things that they've integrated into their, you know, betting channel here if we look at the game on Sunday night, Kevin, looking at the percentage of bets against the spread, 71% of those early tickets here going to San Francisco. If we want to take a look at the money, 78% of the money going on San Francisco. And quite frankly, as I look at it, you say, well, okay, you want to fade the public and go that direction. I understand it. But after 2 weeks looking at these two football teams, you're saying to yourself, Denver, who just has a massive home field advantage, you know, loud crowd, you play in elevation, that's to your advantage. And the fact that they're not even favored here, I could see if like Russell Wilson was injured coming in, that's actually pretty shocking and a telling sign. A lot of respect here coming from the betting public and also the odds makers to install them as a favorite right now.
And I said this to you yesterday. I think we always go, overreaction Monday after week one, right? But it's almost too on the nose. Like, everybody knows we're overreacting, right? I almost think that this is the overreaction week, where now you've seen something twice. So now the Denver Broncos are terrible. They're never going to be able to figure it out. You sure? Again, the home field advantage matters. It always has in Denver, especially early in the season. A dog. Like, I understand that they didn't cover versus the Texans or nor look good in that game, but they were a double-digit favorite last week. And now they're a home underdog here in this spot. That would, again, to suggest that on a neutral field, the Niners would lay a 10 spot, a full 10 to the Texans on a neutral field. No, they wouldn't. Just so you, that's not the case. Just so everybody knows that. In fact, you could argue it would be 11. It just feels like right now what you're seeing is actually a real overreaction to the Denver Broncos. Unless people are all the way out here early season. But it looks like we've got everybody now ready to sit back, Donnie, and back Jimmy Garoppolo once again here.
No, it looks like that's the way it is, too. And you can't really judge last week, Kevin. As you say, he actually came in and filled in admirably, but it's not as if he was coming into a new system. He knew the players around him, even though he was probably running scout team for most of that week. Just being thrown in the game, he's not going to get nervous because he's been there, done that. Now he's instilled as a starter. He's going to be getting the game plan tailored around him all week long from Kyle Shanahan, getting all of the snaps. So I expect an even better performance this weekend. But you're right. It's still a road game here. They're tough to win. It's Sunday night. Denver knows they got to win this game. San Francisco knows, after dropping the first game of the season against the Bears, playing well last week, they have to certainly hit the gas pedal as well. Be interesting to see, because we're taking a look at that total here that opened at 46.5, Kevin, now down to 45.5. And I got to tell you, even though it's two quarterbacks that now you don't have any worries about per se, but those are two pretty good defenses here in a playoff type atmosphere, probably leaning more towards the under at this point than I would be the over.
Interesting spot there. How about this total? Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, 41.5. And if you look on the FanDuel Sportsbook, right, the game right above that is also 41.5. That's Geno Smith versus Marcus Mariota. 41.5. Tampa Bay, Green Bay. Some wide receiver news with Tampa Bay. Not only the Mike Evans suspension, but this morning looks like they're going to be bringing Cole Beasley on their roster as they try and add just something to this wide receiver room. Also, clearly the market not impressed too much with Green Bay's week two offensive performance there, finishing the game with 27 points, 24 in the first half, 3 touchdowns in quarter number 2. Tampa, 2.5-point favorite. Anything surprising to you on this line?
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising, too, because, right, look at the opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, 48.5 down to 41.5, and you're right, this isn't like, oh, boy, it's Mitchell Trubisky coming up against a rookie who's Ben DiNucci, right, and saying, well, you got to set that line in the low 40s at this point. These are two of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in NFL history. You figure they would make it work regardless of what they actually have at the wide receiver position or how much talent they have. So at this point, with it dropping that far, I still do lean towards the over, but also let's keep an eye on here the opening line on the side itself. Tampa Bay opened up in this game over a field goal, Kevin, at FanDuel, -3.5. We now see that dip below 2.5 here. I love the defense from Tampa Bay. We'll see who actually lines up at wide receiver. We're not expecting, I guess, Mike Evans, unless he wins his appeal, which is probably going to take place, I don't know, I would assume, over the next 24 to 48 hours to see if he's available or not. Signing Cole Beasley, he's probably not going to be ready for this weekend. Maybe we don't even get Chris Godwin, but you figure it's still Tom Brady. They're at home, and I like their defense better than the Packers. It's going to be an interesting game to watch, because one that normally would be high-flying with weapons all over the field, you no longer get that at this point. But I got to tell you, two great quarterbacks, Kevin, number around a 40. is this game really going to be 17-10? It can't, right? It can't happen that way.
I have a similar feeling to you. I don't know. Are we just going to expect Tom Brady and the Bucs offense to be bad from now until we are proven otherwise? Usually it's like, listen, there's no way it's going to be that bad. Or people have the mindset of, no, this offense is going to stink, and until they show us something, we're not going to be willing to buy in. I mean, what is that team total going to be for the Bucs, right? Just kind of rough math there. You're probably you're cashing a ticket, no doubt about it, with 24 points from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In a home game, DRS, with Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But we talk about, like, when are they going to turn it around? Like, I have a disease called White Sox disease. They'll turn it around. It's April. They'll turn it around. It's May, June, July, August, September. They don't turn it around anymore. So, again, this is me bashing Tampa Bay all off season. I have a little bit of White Sox disease when I go up against Tampa Bay because I'm telling you, they're eventually going to turn it around. What happens if we do play on Sunday and it's 17-10 Green Bay at the end of this one? And I'm going to come on here on a Monday morning and go, you know what, Kevin? Still can't hold it against Tom Brady. And we hold it against everybody. When somebody stinks, you can't take it. Same thing with, like, Matt Ryan. What did you want him to do? Michael Pittman Jr., the best player in the history of the NFL, isn't out there with Matt Ryan. You can't expect him to actually complete passes. Stop it. Sooner or later, you got to step up here. It's going to be an interesting game to watch it play out where Tom Brady, I don't know what weapons he's actually going to show up with on Sunday afternoon.
So here's the other really interesting, and there's more games we're going to get to. A lot of good games for week three, including Dolphins-Bills in our next kind of segment here of breakdowns. But I also can't wait to see what they do with the props market here, right? I mean, Tom Brady, nowhere near his typical passing yardages the last 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of football. But also, let's just say Mike Evans is out, right, with the suspension, and Godwin does not come back. When are we going to get old school Julio numbers here? Are we going to get him priced like 85 and a half receiving yards? I don't even know what the high number is going to be. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, let's say he catches a 40-yard pass, his knee doesn't work anymore, and you're like, well, hold on a minute now. What did I get myself into? And here's another interesting thing to think about, too, from the props market, right? Now, this has not been the case the first 2 weeks. Zeke and Mark Ingram have actually been pretty efficient at running the football. But the school on Tampa Bay has been you can't run against them. Aaron Jones is legitimately averaging, that's like we like to exaggerate sometimes, he's literally averaging 9 yards a carry. Yeah. Can that move into this game versus Tampa Bay? Really fun one. A lot more to break down. Keep it here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dolphins-Bills in week number 3. Early to me, you can make an argument that game of the week, and that's involving a slate again that's going to be featuring Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. The Dolphins are a 6-point underdog. The total here is 52.5. Let me set the stage quickly first, because this is where you have to kind of respect the lines. But when I watched the Dolphins in their big comeback, told myself I was going to be interested in Buffalo in this game because of the fact that the end, like, you're down 35-14. The comeback is unbelievable, but obviously that's not a sustainable way to live. So I figured Buffalo would be laying 3.5, 4 points, no more than 4.5, and you could probably find a decent way to get involved with the Bills. But now for me, the number has gone too far on Buffalo. I don't think I'm going to be betting Miami plus the 6, but and maybe this is just going to be a thing all year long. Every Bills line is going to feel too far, and they're going to win every game by double digits. But I just think the line has gone too far here early morning.
But what has given us any reason to not have it go so far? Looking at two teams that we figured coming into the season would at least be legitimate contenders in making the playoffs with the Titans and obviously the Rams coming off a Super Bowl, and the Bills have absolutely obliterated both of those teams. But I think you're right here where it's that overreaction, because what is Miami showing you? That they can't compete with Buffalo. Oh, they don't have that high-powered offense. Yeah, but 42 points last week. Oh, but if they need to slow it down and play defense. How about they only allowed New England to have 7 points on opening day, right? So, I mean, they played two different outcomes. And also now, catching a touchdown. And we talk about the Buffalo Bills. This is why so many times in the NFL, each and every season, you see the Bills-Dolphins rivalry. Here's what they do, and good for the NFL, where your true home field advantage in Miami is, come on, Buffalo, come down here in September where it's hot and muggy, which is supposed to be 90 degrees and humid on Sunday afternoon. And then the NFL returns the favor for the Buffalo Bills and says, Miami, go up to Buffalo sometime around December and get a good feel of that cold. So each one of those teams gets to have their true home field advantage. But it is 6 points, and it's interesting. But take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here with the money splits here. 65% of the betting tickets, Kevin, going towards the Buffalo Bills. 74% of the money going towards the Buffalo Bills. Because you just saw last night, maybe it's already out of your mind. Like, boy, man, Tua played well. Look at that offense. You know, Waddle and Tyreek Hill really getting after it. That erased your memory last night with how well the Buffalo Bills played. So maybe it's a little bit of that psychological advantage where maybe you say to yourself, boy, I would really like to take the 6 points with the Dolphins. You bet it and go, what did I just do, man? Josh Allen's going to come down here and just peel off 350 yards, four touchdowns, and that Buffalo defense is revved up and ready to go. Maybe they can slow Miami down. So I see where it is. But if I was betting this football game and just looking at that line, I would be in agreement with you, Kevin. It sounds like a little bit too many points. But then again, the Titans getting 10 points sounded a little bit too many as well last night.
It's a good point by you. And I wonder if you're someone who can respect when a number's too far, right? Yeah. Like, to me, like, I think the number's gone too far, but I'm not running to the window on Miami. Do you just line up a Bills team total? It doesn't go to seven. No way it goes to seven. No way it goes to seven. No way it goes to seven. No way.
Let's just say it's six right now. Where does it end up? More likely to go to 5.5 for me than 6.5, right? Same with you, or
yeah, thoughts? Yeah. No. I can't. If this goes to seven, there's injuries involved. That's the only way I could possibly see that being the case. The Bills team total, like, you're probably winning with 30 points, I would think, again, just kind of based on the way that math lines up there. People might just be saying, all right, fine. You know what? Maybe Miami can score, but prove to me that someone's going to hold the Bills underneath 30 points this season.
Yeah.
Here's another interesting spot. Chargers-Jags. The Chargers are a 7-point favorite here versus Jacksonville, which on the surface looks, I would say to most people, pretty normal. Justin Herbert, though, is, I don't know, is he probable? Is he questionable? They're optimistic, it seems. I think there's a 0% chance he's 100% in the game. The last time we saw Justin Herbert, he was battling between being immobile and throwing some of the most beautiful passes you'll see a quarterback complete. But could you argue, Donnie, that if you want to get involved early, you just grab Jacksonville +7 and take your chance that you might see Chase Daniel on the other side?
I don't think we're going to see Chase Daniel here, but I do think Herbert's going to be able to play in this game, unless it's one of those injuries where it can get worse if he continue to play. Usually a rib injury, what is it? Hey, can you tolerate the pain and get out there with a flak jacket? Maybe we'll, you know, give you a little something to boost you, which actually turned out terrible just a few years ago for a certain, you know, guy that actually got his starting job a little bit sooner, Justin Herbert, with Tyrod Taylor getting a punctured lung. So maybe that's also in the background here of Herbert coming into this game. But I got to tell you, I see that line right now, right? It's 7. Right off the bat, same thing, you're taking a look at the Miami Dolphins. Oh, that seems really strong right here. And again, as I preface it, they don't just go into a hat and pick out a spread and go, okay, 7 sounds like the perfect number for this game. But even at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, this is pretty surprising. Jacksonville showed a lot last week against the Indianapolis Colts with a shutout victory. You're not even asking Jacksonville to win this game. Just hang around with the Chargers. But look at the betting numbers here. 73% of the tickets at the FanDuel Sportsbook coming in on LA. And how about the spread? 80% coming in here on LA. That was quite surprising with that 7-point number. So let's play this guessing game again early in the week on a Tuesday, Kevin. That line sits at 7. More likely to go to 7.5 or 6.5. I'd say 6.5 for me.
Yeah, again, I think unless the news on Herbert is very, very positive, it would be surprising.
That's
got to
be positive. 7.5, right? Like, the 7's got to be already positive news. There's no way you're saying, well, Herbert might not play, we're going to hang a 7 anyway. That's got to be as good as it gets here if we get injury information on Herbert being good. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I agree. I will say you also could be in a spot where Herbert playing might be an advantage, which is not slander. But again, I don't know if he's going to be 100% out there, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. So, and that, by the way, pertains to that total as well, 47.5. We already talked about the Bills. Last night they played the Titans. This was a game I knew I wanted to talk about, Titans-Raiders, before anything happened last night with the Buffalo Bills. The reason was the Raiders were laying a point in Tennessee. I was going to come on here and say, man, that is slander on the Titans. And this is, it was part of the reason I think yesterday I told you I thought the double-digit number that Buffalo was laying had more to do with Tennessee than Buffalo because of how low the market seems to be on the Titans right now. Well, what do you know? The Bills go out there and embarrass the Titans. The number now is 2.5 on Vegas. They're nearly a field goal road favorite against last year's number one seed in the AFC. And that's a Raiders team, again, that just blew a 20-0 halftime lead against the Arizona Cardinals. The Tennessee Titans right now look like they are being treated as one of the lower teams in the marketplace right now.
And you know what? I'm actually leaning towards the Tennessee Titans right now. Like old school DRS, this is the perfect game that I would circle the wagons for on a side. You take a look at opening day. Titans didn't play all that well. Blew a lead against the Giants. Let's just say they won that game because Saquon Barkley doesn't run over a guy into the end zone to win by 1 point. Then they go on the road and get splashed by maybe the best team in the NFL, but the public only sees that, oh, this team absolutely stinks. What happens if they're at home in a must? And then, granted, Vegas, what have they shown you? Are they 2-0 heading into this game? No, they haven't won a single game yet. So why do they deserve to be a road favorite at this point? For me, and again, early in the week, the betting numbers here, 74% or 3 out of every 4 tickets here basically are coming in on the Vegas Raiders on the road, and they haven't won a football game. Who knows? Like, who knows what they're going to bring to the table here? If this line sits at 2.5 and gets any steeper, maybe gets to 3, that's a real buy sign here on the Tennessee Titans for me because I'm one of those people that buy at the low point, right? There's only going to be able to go up. They can't be as bad as possible. They played the Buffalo Bills. The Bills make everybody so far look bad. Maybe there is some value in the Titans early week. I'm with you on that. 2.5 here seems a little bit steep here for the Raiders. I'm leaning towards the Titans here early.
And this is why I'm talking about. I think you know, this is almost the overreaction week here in week number 3. If you made someone book this game before any football was played, the Titans are probably the 2.5-point favorite. Now, I understand Tennessee has looked bad. By the way, one of these teams is going to fall to 0-3. A pair of playoff teams last year. One of these teams is going to fall to 0-3. Last one I think we have time for is Monday Night Football, Giants-Cowboys. The Giants are going to lay 2.5 here, low total, 39.5. I know the Giants-Panthers game was your under last week, and it came in on the pick 6. The 2.5, it feels correct. I was wondering how much love Cooper Rush would get for the win versus Cincinnati. I think it's an appropriate amount of love here. I will say, because I know you usually, this line works towards Dallas, not towards a full field goal, if I had to imagine.
Yeah, exactly. I actually agree with this line. I didn't agree with it last week because I just didn't think the Giants should be a favorite yet. But that's back-to-back games in close. And this is what you have to point out, too. The Giants didn't get anything handed to them, right? Both of those games that they had to come back there in the second half and steal those games, which shows the sign of a well-coached football team that doesn't just get down a touchdown, Kevin, in the third quarter or 10 points at the break. There's no way we can come back. That really points up for me. And also, the bump of Cooper Rush getting that start at home, the defense playing lights out, the Cincinnati Bengals not finding themselves. Most people say, oh, Dallas Cowboys, give me them on the road here. Not the case. Like, early in the week here, even though it's about a 50-50 betting split at the FanDuel Sportsbook, probably leaning towards the New York Giants as a favorite here. I think that's showing the Giants a little bit of respect, too, at that -2.5 year with the Dallas Cowboys.
And I think the Giants have earned that. You know, we've talked a lot about Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll. The defense has played well to start this season. Now Baker looks pretty bad, but still holding Carolina to 16 points. The Cleveland Browns allowed 24 points, if I remember that score correctly. Right to the Carolina Panthers, and that Browns defense is going to be fantastic, right? So the Giants early season right now, we're seeing some good defensive looks from them, which is a part of the reason we're dealing with a 39.5 spot there for Monday Night Football. Also, just quickly, because we've talked about all the other teams that were playing on Monday night, the Eagles will go to Washington to play Carson Wentz. They'll do so as a 4.5-point favorite. A lot of respect for the Birds on that line. We'll talk Major League Baseball next here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview time here on the early line. We don't get to do these as often now that it's football season, but we have made sure to give you some, a play of the day from Donnie as often as possible. Just kind of a check-in, Donnie, right now. Kind of how have things been going? What's the state for you in Major League Baseball, Ben? More overs, more unders, everything's in play. What have you been seeing on the baseball board in recent times?
Usually some of the tougher times to actually bet Major League Baseball, Kevin, early in the month of April where you're not sure which team is good or what sort of, pitching's going to unfold, pitcher's not stretched out, only going five innings, but also equally as tough typically is once you get to September, the haves and the have-nots, the taxes on the teams that actually have to win, you're trying to bet an underdog and you're saying to yourself, well, I don't even know who's going to come in the sixth, seventh, eighth, or even close the game out in the ninth inning. But team totals have been quite generous, Kevin. Now 5-1 over the last six games, including an easy over yesterday between the Detroit Tigers and the Baltimore Orioles, where one team I don't even think scored in that game, but it's okay because the other one went into the double digit range to cash that one in. So we are finding some gems here, even with football season underway and having a lot of fun. Still profitability left here in the Major League Baseball season.
Let's keep those profits rolling. We start with the Rays and the Astros. Tampa Bay is a -144 favorite with Shane McClanahan on the mound against Christian Javier. This might be a silly question because maybe the answer is just McClanahan, but is any of this line considering last night that the Astros were drinking champagne all night celebrating a divisional crown?
Yeah, a little bit that. That's usually what you get, too, because typically you see it's not so much the mindset that the Astros are coming in, but actually who they're going to have in the starting lineup. This is typically one of those days, hey, boys, enjoy a night on the town tonight, and we'll make sure we have that expanded roster ready to go tomorrow afternoon. You show up to the ballpark and say, hey, Skip, you know what? Night off I could use, you're going to get that one. So you're right. A little bit of that goes into it, but also let's keep in mind McClanahan is on the mound. So if you go off for a night of partying here, clinching up a division and heading into the playoffs, how about a guy with a 2.83 xFIP over the past 30 days, strikeout percentage 35%, and take a look at these splits. Now, you look at also the FanDuel Sportsbook, McClanahan to win the Cy Young Award in the American League, which he was a favorite for quite a bit part of the season, 19-1, but look at this. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's only faced five batters, Kevin, over the last 30 days from the left side, 138 weighted on base percentage, zero ISO. So you figure he's got to be giving in a little bit here, right? To right-handed batters, not the case. 36 of those, a 198 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 029. But even if we flip it over here and take a look at what we're getting on the mound here from Javier, 3.60 xFIP number, K rate 35%, dominant to both lefties and righties. You know what we're looking here, Kevin? No surprise. We're in the trop. It's an under look here for us.
Yeah, 6.5, though, is your number. So a very low total here. Mm. What I will tell people is look at this game as a precursor to the playoffs. Now, I know Verlander is the ace for the Astros, but Javier's obviously had himself a phenomenal season. Ace-level starters, right? And this kind of environment to see a 6.5, just keep note of a spot like this because this is what people are going to be betting when we make the move again towards October. As we continue to move through this board, the Red Sox and the Rays are in action. Brian Bello on the mound against Lodolo. And Bello is a road favorite. Now, it's been a while since we've talked Bello on the mound for the Boston Red Sox. Why/how... is he a road favorite here in Cincinnati?
Yeah, let me give you the crux of the argument here for Bello. Apparently, his first start up, I think we were able to get a fade off him and pick up a victory. But after that, take a look at these 30-day splits for Bello, Kevin. 3.7 xFIP, which is very good here over the past 30 days. K rate 25%, certainly manageable. But look at these splits. This isn't like, 10 lefties and 15 righties, and he's really getting it down. 45 batters this right-handed pitcher Bello has pitched against in Major League Baseball over the past 30 days to lefties. 216 weighted on base percentage. But how about this? A zero ISO power number. Impressive, right? Well, how about the right side or going up against right-handed batters? 62 batters, Kevin, he's faced. 277 weighted on base percentage. zero ISO power number. So if I'm doing the math correctly, 107 batters he's faced, Kevin, ISO power number zero. That is absolutely tremendous. Now, let's flip it back over here and see how the Boston Red Sox line up against Lodolo. You ever heard of this kid before? You might as well start. Last 30 days, 2.92 xFIP. K rate, 34%. Let's take a look at his splits. Now, he's a left-handed pitcher, so you're not going to want to get involved from the left-hand side. Why? He's only faced 12 batters in 30 days from the left-hand side. Zero weighted on base percentage, zero ISO. How about from the right side? You see, can load up bats. 110 batters, Kevin, he's faced from the right side. 271 weighted on base percentage, phenomenal. ISO power number 149, below average as well. These two guys on the mound, who would have thought? Bello, Lodolo, maybe the best pitching matchup of the night. We're going under to get to the window out at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati.
That is some scene. Man, oh man. Mm. Bello is actually... in two of his last three outings, pitched scoreless baseball in the month of September, pitching to a 1.65 ERA. So you're seeing, I mean, there was a point in the season where his ERA was above a 10. So as much as you might look at a 5 and be like, what in the world? This guy's terrible. Things have clearly been able to get much better for him as the season has progressed. Huge series between the Phillies and the Blue Jays. Phillies enter this losers of four in a row. Toronto in their own wild card race over on the American League side. Kyle Gibson is a home dog here tonight against Ross Stripling. Again, we talk a first glance look. That seems disrespectful to the Phillies. Is that how you see it?
I don't know if it is, and I'm going to put this out there. There was just, you know, maybe a week and a half ago where the Phillies were just driving straight down the thoroughfare into the playoffs with ease. You know, Braves or the Brewers weren't threatening them. The Padres weren't. There's a really good chance that I'm setting this up over the next week and a half that the Phillies will be outside looking in on the playoffs before the schedule gets a little bit softer for them because they don't have anything easy here. Toronto's still fighting as well, but if we're looking at it from a betting perspective here, Gibson is on the mound. Struggled a little bit over the past 30 days. His xFIP is around a 4.4, which is okay. He's actually been getting crushed, Kevin, by left-handed batters over the past month. 59 batters he's faced. How about this? A 4.49 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 269. Now, he is a little bit lucky here tonight. Look, that lineup is very good for the Toronto Blue Jays, but they're right-handed driven here. Only two lefties, Tapia and Biggio, in the lineup due tonight. So let's just say there's seven right-handed batters, and where does that factor in for Gibson? He's been lights out against right-handed batters, Kevin. 52 batters he's faced from the right side over the past month, 291 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 0.4. I mean, tremendous stuff there. So maybe he can keep down those bats. Let's take a look at Stripling. He's got a high xFIP number, 4.72 over the last month, but a decent K percentage. But how about these weighted on base percentage splits here? The reason why he doesn't have a great xFIP is not a huge strikeout guy, a little bit too many fly balls, but weighted on base percentage to lefties, Kevin, over the past month, 218 to righties, a 301. Now, this Phillies lineup does match up pretty well against right-handed pitching, but the Phillies aren't playing good baseball right now. So dare I say, three games handicapped, three games under the total.
Man, oh man, is that where we are again in the season? Everything is just going to line up to be a nice and tidy under. That's not exactly what we're looking for. But at the end of the day, what we're looking for is to put the appropriate results up on the board. But that is surprising. I don't know. I see Phillies, Blue Jays. I'm like, runs. You get excited. Gibson, Stripling, right? It's not like we're dealing with Nola Gausman. So, but hey, again, maybe that's just where we are in the season. Bryce Harper last night at the Philadelphia Eagles game. James Harden, as well. Him and Darius Slay hanging out there on the sideline, which was a terrific scene to see. The Angels and the Rangers are playing. I was hoping Shohei would be on the mound so we could talk about the fact that there are still people who think he should win the AL MVP. He's not. Sure. That's okay. And maybe what's more important is not who's on the mound tonight for the Angels, but who's on the mound for the Rangers. Reagans, Juice, finally, could it be here? Totals 8.5.
Yeah, and it ain't Ronald Reagans here on the mound tonight. So let's take a look at this game overall. And quick, frankly, look, yes, like that one's a pretty good one right here. AL MVP race. Aaron Judge is a minus 20,000 favorite as I look right now. Wow. Shohei Ohtani 25-1. Kevin, what would I have told you? The perfect matchup tonight is Shohei Ohtani going up against Reagans, right? Maybe he can move that number. No, it's actually not the perfect matchup. And I'll explain to you why in just a few moments. But Reagans, over the past 30 days, an xFIP close to 5, low K rate, walks too many guys. He actually is he's a left-handed pitcher. He's very good against lefties, which, again, Shohei Ohtani at the plate is a left-handed batter. But righties, that's a different picture. 406 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 250. A lot of right-handed batters going to be in the lineup tonight for the Angels. And how many times have we said this on the season? Look at this, man. You know, what's going to happen? Trout gets a home run. Shohei Ohtani gets a double in the gap for an RBI. They get beat 7-2. Not tonight. I'm not saying they win in this game outright, but a team total for the Los Angeles Angels can't be overlooked tonight because my guy Reagans is on the mound. He's due to get blown up tonight. He'd give up about 5 spot here. Cash in a ticket.
Well, I was wondering in the building last night if Mike Trout would be there. I mean, at the end of the day, right?
Harper's already missed enough games. You see Bryce. Did they show Bryce?
Yeah, no, I saw Bryce. Those were his seats when I kind of factored there.
They said he was in his seats. Yeah.
They couldn't have let Trout go? Like, really? Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
that is true.
You don't think Trout would have rather been at the Eagles game? Man.
He would have been hanging out. I mean, you talk about Trout and Bryce Harper, you would have had it off field, but I'll tell you what, he got a big pop here. Should have brought Bryce Harper down to the field, let him get a couple cuts in, knock a couple baseballs into the upper deck. Would have said the pop would have been tremendous there last night.
Bryce got a bigger pop than Harden, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
And also, Bryce started a little of the MVP chance last night. There were also MVP chance last night for Jalen Hurts. Did I start those? You have to figure it out for yourself. The Mariners and the Athletics is the next game that we have to talk about. I can't stand you. It's fine. Go Mariners. I bet you already know what I'm angry about, too. Mariners Athletics makes the card. Dylan Cease versus the Guardians doesn't. Go ahead, Donnie. Give people Mariners Athletics better win. Whatever this angle is here, since this had to make the card before we gave people an idea, Dylan Cease versus the Guardians. Go ahead.
Yep, no. We don't need anything about that here. We're going to take a look at this game overall in a team total that I like. And as most people in the building would say, you can walk this one in, people. Why? Because Sears will be on the mound as a left-handed pitcher for the Oakland Athletics. 5.90 as an xFIP over the past 30 days. But take a look at this. Look at this. 91 batters, Sears. I mean, there's a reason why Sears is going bankrupt across the country. Not because this guy's name is actually Sears and it's bad for business, but it might as well be. 459 weighted on base percentage. 329 ISO power number. Seattle goes yard time after time again tonight. A team total for the Mariners is going to cash this ticket tonight.
All right. A big opportunity there then. Feels like a must play. Dylan Cease, by the way, a minus 162 favorite tonight against the Cleveland Guardians.
And I'm not going to make the card, man. You got that White Sox disease. They're not out of here. Nobody cares.
I will say Verlander is actually up to minus 370, so you might have a bit of a point. Perhaps nothing Dylan Cease can do in that race. I'm out of here. Listen up. I'll be on the morning after. Donnie will take it from here. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day for a Tuesday right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. as usual before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens coming up momentarily setting up your Sports Grid Sports Day. And I got to tell you, yesterday, if you had a doubleheader and you were excited for it, if you bet on the Buffalo Bills, great. If you bet on the Philadelphia Eagles, sensational. If you're a fan of the Bills or the Eagles, sensational all the way around. So my question is, did we get a Super Bowl preview last night of what's to come? Listen up. The Buffalo Bills dismantled the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Tennessee Titans did lose opening day to the New York Giants in epically terrible fashion. But that doesn't hide the fact that the Titans last year were the number one overall seed in the AFC. The Philadelphia Eagles yesterday moved to 2-0 on this young season after beating Detroit on the road, an NFC win, and then coming home and take on the Minnesota Vikings fresh off of them pounding the Green Bay Packers for another easy win and an NFC win. So if we're taking a look here at the Buffalo Bills, who absolutely destroyed the Los Angeles Rams opening night when they got the ring ceremony, the banner coming down on the road in L.A., they won by three touchdowns. They won by even more than three touchdowns last night against the Titans. This is going to be a phenomenal season for these two teams because right now they look like they can't be stopped on offense on both sides. So if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, conference winners, the AFC, the favorite in the clubhouse, the Buffalo Bills at a plus 240 price, followed by the Kansas City Chiefs at a plus 360, and the NFC Championship winner, currently the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a plus 310. But how about this? The Philadelphia Eagles pulling into a tie with the Green Bay Packers at a 5-1 price to win the NFC. So yesterday, maybe a quick preview here of taking a look at what to expect coming forward here in the playoffs. My, what an epic time it would be out in Arizona for the Philadelphia Eagles fans and the Bills Mafia to meet up in a battle for it all. Tremendous stuff here in the NFL. Can't wait to see everything play out. But before that does, make sure you stay tuned. The Morning After coming up with Ben Stevens and K-Dub. Going to be joining him in hour number one.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.